It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Laker Hockey Talk here on ESPN 1400. Bill Crawford, along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten. It's our second Laker Hockey Talk of this summer, also our last one. We're going to be getting into the Laker Hockey Show here on about the 26th of September, so stay tuned for that. That'll be a Tuesday night from the Antlers at 6 p.m., but for this morning, Damon, I know we're into captain's practices now. Hockey's really gearing up. It is not very far off when you're going to play a blue-gold game. Let's talk a little bit about that, get some dates straight, and you're going to be playing Laurentian University, an old foe as well, in an exhibition before you actually get the season started.
Yeah, well, it's a great time of year. I mean, you definitely have that excitement. You're looking. I know Mitch Holtz scored a goal last night for Anaheim, two nights ago maybe now. So it's, they're starting to see the hockey highlights and a lot of things going on. So a real excitement. You know, our guys are in, obviously, like you mentioned. The captains are doing a lot of our things, our upperclassmen. We have not named captains yet. But we also get those 2 hours per week. So we get a real limited amount of time on the ice with our players. I think, they're also anxious to get out there with us. So it makes it a little bit difficult, but we're certainly starting to get some more time with those guys and enjoying that and really looking forward to it. And as you mentioned, the blue-gold game will start us off. That's September 30th at 3:07 p.m. So it's an afternoon start there, and post after that we're going to have a skate with the team and an autograph session. We're just coming off the Laker launch. It was a great turnout, but here's another chance for everybody to come out, watch a game, get to see everybody play, and then also skate with the team afterwards, get some autographs and meet the players. So it'll be an exciting start.
And then on October 1st, you're going to play Laurentian. That'll be a Sunday game, and we're going to be broadcasting that game. That'll be our first broadcast of the season. We always do that exhibition game, and then you go right into it with Northern Michigan University coming in here.
Yeah, so it's here. Like you said, I think our young guys, they're coming out of junior hockey, obviously, and they've got, extended preseasons, a lot of chances to get an exhibition game. And we've tried to stress to the guys, that's not what you get in college hockey. Everybody's going to dress for the blue-gold game, and then we're right down. We got a couple extra players to dress for an exhibition game if we choose to do that. But your windows to showcase yourself and earn a spot are done in these limited hours and small windows. So you have to be ready to play and put your best foot forward so you can earn a spot. It's a really competitive lineup this year, a good depth throughout, so it's going to be exciting.
Let's look back to this past weekend. Meet the Lakers was probably a good success, as it always is. And you mentioned Laker Launch. Explain a little bit about Laker Launch. That's more of a student-oriented event.
Yeah, well, that was this weekend. It was a Meet the Lakers. We called it Laker Launch as well, run by the Sioux Blue Liner. So we did a great job putting that on. You could come up, get a hot dog. We had a lot of different games. I think the dunk tank was very popular. I got a chance to dunk some of our players, and then a lot of the kids wanted to get in there, so our players ended up dunking the players. But skate with the team and autographs, a bunch of little games, and by far the best turnout in our going into our fourth year here. So we really appreciate the support of the fans. Hockey schools were great this year, so a lot of the faces, for me, I'm really starting to get to know a lot of the youth hockey players, which is really fun to see. But a good turnout, and I think there's a real energy out there about the program as we head into the season.
Yeah, you talked about Mitch Holtz a moment ago. He would have been a junior this year for Lake Superior, probably would have been one of the leading scorers on his team. He certainly was last year. Good hockey player, getting a chance with Anaheim right now, did score a goal on Monday night, and that's a great start for him. You kind of wonder, though, with the Lakers, you brought in a bunch of defensemen this year. There are a lot of new faces on the blue line, but not a lot of new forwards. So we're looking for guys who've been here before, the Diego Cuglietta, Hanky-type players, to step it up this year and pick up that scoring.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's a huge step up, because a lot of those guys had good years. When you look at that, JT Hanky, he's a senior this year. Finally, it seems like he's been playing a lot of hockey for us, but he's led our team in scoring the last 2 years. So certainly JT will be looked upon as one of those top top scorers, and you know, he's got big personal goals this year to be an elite player, not only, you know, for our team, but across the WCHA and across the nation. He's very capable of doing that. I think our depth up front is the best it's been since we've been here. You know, last year's sophomore class, you mentioned Mitch Holt and Diego Gage, you know, missing a couple guys in there, but you know, they were one of the top scoring classes in the entire nation last year. Mm-hmm. So and they're not your typical juniors now this year, because they've played so much. Even as freshmen, they came in, they power played, they were on the power play, they killed penalties, they've been out in the last minute of the game, opening minute of the game, matched up against top line. So I don't think this junior class is a typical junior class. You know, they are going to have to take another step, but they did it last year, so I expect big things from all of our juniors. And then last year's freshman class, you know, they were a top, I think, seventh in the country scoring freshman class. So again, guys like Max Humitz, Colin Sockerman, Brian Basilico looks really good so far. So, you know, these guys played a lot as well. So we finally have some established leadership, which we really haven't had in our time here with the four seniors. Aiden Wright, I don't think, has missed a game in his college career. Was an assistant captain for us last year. Kyle Chatham's played a ton of college hockey. You know, Ryan Renz is a tremendous leader and played a lot of games. And then with JT Hanke. So our seniors will lead us, as it always does in college sports, and they've got to be ready to go. But I like, we finally have some leaders who have, you know, play big roles on this team, and that's important.
You're trying to get ready right now, and I know there are captains' practices several times a week where they'll actually scrimmage and go after each other, and they'll also run a lot of drills where you've got some leadership people. Some of your seniors like Aiden Wright are helping, or your juniors like Aiden Wright are helping at this point, and probably Hanke as well as a senior. How much time as a coaching staff are you able to spend working with this team right now, and how does it work for on ice and off ice with what you can do by NCAA rules?
Well, very limited, and it's, you know, we already have the longest season of all collegiate sports, so I guess I understand where it comes from, but I think, you know, the players get here, they want to be on with us, and, you know, we want to be with them, so it is difficult, but you get 2 hours in a team setting if you choose to use it that way, and that's typically what we do based on recruiting schedules, which is a really busy time of the year for that as well. You know, next week is probably the busiest recruiting week of the entire season, and we'll all be on the road. So we'll go early in the week and use longer segments, probably an hour Monday, hour Tuesday. That'll be our time, and both Rich and Mike get on the road on Tuesday. I head out Wednesday, and then the captains and our upperclassmen will take over leadership there. So, you know, we're through our testing. We've got that behind us, and this week we'll look at kind of installing the offensive side of the things for our game and for our team, and Rich and Mike will kind of split those duties up and do that, and you know, so we'll try to be very organized what we do, so we're maximizing our time. A typical day, Bill, you know, the guys will go out on their own for the first 2 or 3 drills. Our upperclassmen, our captains, our seniors will run that first 10-15 minutes, and then when we step on the ice, we're right into more of a teaching and a structure kind of period versus just running flow drills or warm-up drills. So you want to maximize those minutes you get with guys.
Yeah, you've got a lot of new people on this team this year. We mentioned that a lot of new defensemen in here. There are at least 5 new faces on that blue line and 5 returning faces. That's a lot of blue liners right now. The competition there is good. But trying to get messages through how we play, if you're changing anything as well, and I don't know what the plans are there, but if you're changing defensive systems in any way, whether it be shorthanded on the penalty kill or just the regular defensive scheme, not a whole lot of time to prepare, and you're going to be playing a game here pretty quickly, and it's going to be brand new stuff for a lot of guys.
Yeah, there really isn't, and that makes it challenging. And again, that's why your leadership, your upperclassmen have to be, you know, so instrumental in this period to take guys along, show them the way we things, not even structure wise, but the way we expect things to be done. You know, practice habits, you know, lifestyle habits on a Saturday night, you know, school habits, attending classes, doing things the right way. So, you know, it's important you have a good culture. And I think this team has a chance to be special in that way. We have a really good culture in that locker room, great leadership, guys who you know, are here for the right reasons. They do a good job in the classroom. I think we had 6 academic All-Americans last year, which is tremendous, and then certainly taking that step on the ice as well. So those guys will be really important through this. And again, we have to be extremely organized in maximizing the minutes we get with our players.
Yeah, get away from the team stuff for just a moment. You mentioned a moment ago that your coaches are and yourself, you're going to be hitting the road here. I'm assuming there are a lot of showcases, a lot of junior type things. I know this is time of year when the junior major A teams send a lot of players to NHL camps for a period of time. I'm assuming there are a lot of things going on with junior leagues right now where it gives college recruiters a chance to see everybody play.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's why it's so important. You know, there's a couple reasons why. A showcase setting only counts as one evaluation. The NCAA limits how many times you can see a team. And, you know, even in town, we hear that a little bit. Well, why aren't we, you know, maybe some places locally more? Well, the NCAA limits how much you can see a team. And there's some combinations between contacts and evaluations of seven opportunities to see or to contact players. So you really have to be careful, you know, picking your spots in your geography. But a showcase event only counts as one viewing. So to be able to go to whatever city it's in or whatever league it's in to see every team two or three, maybe four times, and it's one contact, one evaluation, or one evaluation, is really important to do that. So, you know, some of these events will go solo and one guy will cover the league. And then, you know, later next week, Rich and I will end up together in the same venue with a lot of things going on. There's a couple different leagues in midget hockey and junior leagues. So it's a lot of players. I mean, I can't even tell you how many players we see in these few weeks, but it's significant. And then, you know, we're also coaching and teaching on top of it. So again, organization's important that you can come home, get your reports done, and we have an organized attack of what we're going to be. But now, again, we're still in a small cycle. We only have one senior forward in JT Hankey, three senior defensemen. You know, we have a couple guys committed out there for the future, a couple signed NLIs. So we don't have a lot of needs. But again, you're out there networking, watching some younger guys, certainly watching our guys wherever they're at and making sure, you know, they're taking the steps we need them to take to come in and contribute.
Yeah, you've got a number of players in the USHL this year. I'm imagining that somebody's going to go see a showcase there and watch the players who do have letters of intent or at least have verbally committed to Lake Superior State to make sure they're on the right track.
Yeah, exactly, and just get some time with them. I mean, I think it's important that we're out there and, you know, spending time with them and continuing to build that relationship. Obviously, with the coaching change, you know, Mike will step up and get to know some of those guys. I know there's tremendous excitement from our current players and future players when you look at the background he brings to our program. So, yeah, he's busy getting to know those future guys as well, and, you know, face-to-face time is a really important part of that.
Yeah, Mike York's another thing I wanted to talk about briefly this morning. We'll have Mike come on the Laker Hockey Show early this season so the fans can get to know him a little bit and hear from him. He's kind of a low-key guy from what I can see, but he's got a tremendous resume. He played at very high levels, and I remember him well as a Michigan State player. He was probably, in the time he was at Michigan State, the best player on those teams.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, the process of that, you know, it's interesting when you go through that. I think I've learned, I thought when I first got into this or had an opportunity to hire assistant coaches that they'd be guys tight in my circle, and then my first few were not, and I really enjoyed that. You learn more. They bring in outside views. And then as this one went along, there was a lot of quality candidates, a lot of, you know, a handful had ties to our program and to the area. And, you know, it was challenging to go through it. But I knew early on there's just a different kind of level of comfort when it's a former teammate, a guy that you practiced and went up against on a daily basis, you know, went to battle on the weekends with him. And so you know exactly his true character, his work ethic, you know, the type of human being he is. So that certainly helped the process. And like you said, I mean, when you have a chance to add a guy who's a former NHL All-Star, an Olympian, you know, teammates with Dougie Waite and Brian Ralston with the USA Olympic team, that's pretty tough to pass that down. And, you know, the experience he'll bring to help our players reach that level and share with them is really tremendous. And we're excited to have him on board.
All right, Mike York, we'll be hearing from him as the season goes on. He's the new assistant coach at Lake Superior. Rich Mitro's back. Damon Witten's with us here on the Laker Hockey Talk program this morning. We're going to take a break. We'll hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back with the second half of the show after this on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success in 2017-18.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
All right, welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk in the month of September. And boy, you get into September, it's hockey time, Damon. And I know it certainly is. The guys are skating every day. Let's talk a little bit about some of the new faces in the lineup and just maybe gloss over them in a hurry. You got a number of new defensemen in there and a couple of forwards as well and some interesting people. I've been up watching some skate. It looks like we've picked up some size and some puck moving and skating ability on the blue line.
Yeah, you know, and there was no over, big effort to get to increase our size. I think in today's game, if you ever can get away with some undersized players, it's certainly in today's game where you have to have mobility and skating ability with some of the changing of the rules over the years. But I think we got... upgraded our skating and got bigger. So that's been good. You know, Lucas Kiebel as a defenseman came out of Fargo. He's a German kid, played for the World Junior German program as well. He'll be a power play guy for us. He's got an elite stick, an elite shot, and I think that's an area that we certainly wanted to target to be able to generate more offense from the blue line and continue to possess pucks well. And Lucas is a big kid. I don't know, 6'2", 6'3", along those lines. Tyler Anderson's very similar. Very big kid. He's 6'3", 6'4". He's got a great wingspan. He led the BCHL in goals by a defenseman and scored almost 20 goals in the BCHL. Another power play piece, just an incredibly dangerous shot. One of the best shots I've seen. So those two guys will be, really key in a lot of areas. They're joined by Will Rydell, another guy with good size. Late in the year, Will was getting through some academic issues as an older player and from a non-traditional area in North Carolina. The second Will was cleared. We had the table set ready to get him. Again, big, mobile, moves pucks. I think another key piece. They're joined by Bennett Vita, another guy with good size and good puck mover. So Bennett will join them as well. And the last guy, Steven Ruggiero. He's a transfer, Anaheim draft pick, and he'll be eligible around Christmas. But he might be the biggest of the bunch. Again, 6'3", 6'4", and probably our best skater in the back end. He's an elite skater, both north-south, mobility, moves pucks extremely well. He's tough and physical. And, when Steven's ready to play at Christmas, it's going to be it's competitive already. And when he gets eligible, it's going to be challenging for us. So I think it's an area that, we certainly wanted to focus on to generate more offense, puck possession, and upgrade our sticks there. And I think we've done that. So it's going to make for a really tough competitive spot on the back end.
Yeah, there are 10 guys there, and there are a number of veterans. You look at Colin Sackleman's back. Aiden Wright's probably a strong candidate to be captain of this team. Ryan Renz was an assistant captain last year. We got Kyle Chatham, who's played a lot of hockey here, and Matt McArdle. And all five of those guys are going to be challenged by these young guys for playing time.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of what you want. You want guys competing and driving for spots. I think there's probably a chance, like the Tampa Bay Lightning do. I think with the depth there, that you could see us going seven defensemen some nights, and utilizing some of that ability back there. But it'll be competitive, and like you said, those returning guys, we know what they can do, and we expect them to hold their spots in the lineup. But it won't be easy, and they'll have guys breathing down their necks, which is as a coach what you try to establish.
Defensive end of things, goaltending's probably the real key right there. In fact, it definitely is. Without a good goaltender, you're in big trouble. You got four of them in camp right now. You've got the two returners and Nick Kossoff and Cooper Lukenda. And then up the new guys in the lineup are Roman Bengert and Marek Smittens, and everybody looks pretty good.
Yeah, and again, early. I think every coach feels fairly optimistic. If they don't look good, then you really made some mistakes on the recruiting trail. So there's optimism there, and Nick obviously comes back as the most established goalie. Cooper spent a year with the program, so he knows the expectations and made a good adjustment as things went along and as he got healthy. When you're talking about the new guys, Roman Bengert comes in coming off a great finish to his junior career in Steinbach and the Manitoba Junior Hockey League. He was their goalie of the year in the MJHL. So he's focused and ready to play. Really good kid. Again, good size, 6'2", 6'3". You know, really looks the part. And he's come in and done a good job here early on with limited viewings. And then Merrick Mittens, another guy. He's got, you know, high accolades coming in. Latvian World Junior goaltender. His numbers in the World Junior Championship aren't great, but you got to remember he's on Team Latvia facing Russia and USA and Canada, and a lot of nights he ends up with 55, 60 saves. But he was the goalie of the year in the North American League and the MVP of the entire league, set a league shutout record. And so there's certainly some accolades with both those guys. And again, they're not here to sit. They want to come in here and start and fight for that starting spot. So it will be competitive. And, that position you have to be good in. So, we'll let that battle play out and see where that goes. But, I think it'll end up being a strength of our team, no matter if it's Nick Cooper or Merrick's or Roman. But it will be competitive, and the best guy will play.
Well, we've got about 12 returning forwards as well. Very few new faces there. Chase Gamblin, the local product, is trying to make the team as a forward. And you've got a young man out of Sweden, Hampus Eriksson, who looks really good, and he's got great size.
Yeah, well, and Chase is certainly a guy that we know is going to be a big part of our program. We're excited to have him. He's done a great job over the last couple of years of kind of sticking with it and developing. I think finally, had a summer that he needed, and I think some of our local kids, are kind of learning what it takes in the off season and having the resources locally to put the time into what you have to do to play at this level. So Chase has come in phenomenal shape. And done a really good job. So he'll definitely be in the mix and pushing for a spot. And when it's all said and done, he's going to have a very good career here at Lake State. Hampus, as you mentioned, another Swede, another European player. He's 6'3", 6'4", big kid, really good puck protection. I think he ended up near the top 10 in scoring in the North American League. And he got here a little bit late. He was really tempted to play pro hockey back home and kind of learned late about coming over to the States and NCAA hockey. And, was a really big piece of the Fairbanks Ice Dogs, which obviously has been a great partner for Lake State Hockey and great ties to that program. So we're excited to have him. The last guy who's probably not on our roster, but Yuki Miura. Yuki is here. Yuki played last year in Waterloo in the USHL. He's first year in the States. He's from Japan. My guess is he's got to be the first Japanese NCAA hockey player. To do that, and so he's been very good. Now we're finishing some academic things on Yuki, a really strong student, but he moved away from home to Czech Republic when he was younger, and there's a lot of different issues and hurdles in dealing with his transcripts and getting them in and everything like that. So we'll see if Yuki's eligible this year, but he's looked really good. He's fast, he's skilled. Playing as a 20-year-old import in the USHL is not an easy thing to do, especially from Japan. So again, he'll be a guy that impacts his program at some point. And I don't know if that'll be this year, but he'll be a big part of our program.
Yeah, there's some returning veterans too. We did mention Diego Cuglietta and Gage Terrell, certainly JT Henke. Those guys would be expected to do some good things offensively for the Lakers. I think Anthony Nellis is geared for a big year. He was very good last year, especially as the season went on. Max Humus was tremendous last year as a freshman, one of the best players in the WCHA, really, as a first-year player. And then we've got names like Gelsinger, Johnson, Hayes, Nenadol, Basilico, and McKay. All those guys can play. They've all got experience. They've all gone through at least one season with the Lakers, if not two. And, a kid like Josh Nenadol, he's a leadership guy.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, this is by far the deepest we've been in our, going into our fourth year here. So there's certainly excitement. I think our players feel where we're at. We had that unbelievable start last year, with one senior. And so we have some better in leadership in our team. So I think we're excited about that as well. Again, you listed a lot of the guys. I think guys that have stood out in these limited minutes, like you mentioned, Anthony Nellis, he's looked really good. good. He got stronger. He got quicker. Ian Johnson is at a really good, couple hours here so far. Brian Basilico's taking a step. And like you said, Diego's going to play a big role. Gage is going to play a big role. Humitz will continue to play a big role. So it's a good situation. Spent some time with Brian Basilico this morning, and, he's had a good summer as well. And then these guys, you need to. That's the expectation. And now it's 2-3 hours into it. Now what are you going to do 20 hours into it and 20 days into it and 2 months into it? So it's up to them to sustain it and build and grow a role. But our depth is good, and that's, what you're trying to build.
We've got Lalonde, too, who comes to us. He was going to go to Michigan State. That didn't work out for him, so he's here, and he's another one who looks like he could play.
Well, and Noah actually is not here. So he was here, and he's kind of going through some things personally and family-wise, so we'll kind of revisit where things are at with Noah. But he was here and then had some family issues that came up, so he wanted to take care of those. And, with our blessing, he's kind of looking after those things. So we'll see where that's at down the road. But, we like our group, and, we have guys, especially if Yuki, gets good news from the clearinghouse, we'll be fine with our numbers and, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season. And even if Miura can't play, he can practice. And he's got a great attitude. I talked to him a little bit. He's pretty hard to talk to, but he is very excited to be here. And I think he'll hang right in there. He's not going to give it up just because he can't get on the ice for games. And that school's out on that. He may still be able to play yet this season, too.
Yeah, well, that'll be to be determined. Part of it's not bad. If he does not get that clearance, Terry Mitro's back running our strength and conditioning and helping out in a lot of areas. And so Terry's done a great job. And, he'll have Yuki and those guys in there getting him a lot stronger and ready for a great sophomore year if that's the situation.
Yeah, there's another young man we haven't really mentioned, but Terry Mitro returns to the Sioux, Rich Mitro's brother, and he's adding a lot. If nothing else, he adds tremendous enthusiasm. Both those guys have that real optimistic outlook, and they're good additions to this coaching staff. Let's talk before we get out of here this morning. This show will be podcast for fans to listen to it at their leisure. You can just check our podcast listings at Sovereign Communication. Season tickets, that's something we always want to mention. Fans can still get them. You get up there, and we're a little bit short-staffed right now, but I think you can handle your season tickets.
Yeah, no, exactly. We'd love to get your support. I know attendance was up fairly significant last year, and we appreciate it. We hope that people come and, enjoy it. I know that start, everybody was on fire and loving that, and that's our plan, to be just dominant at home and take care of home ice and give the fans a great show. I certainly know our style of play. People are enjoying the pace and the skill and the tempo, things like that. So we appreciate your support. Please come up, get your season tickets. I guess briefly, you mentioned that, being the changes in the athletic department, but Dr. David Pateson, our new athletic director, was announced, I believe, earlier this week or last week. He's in town and, jumping right into it. And those of you who have a chance to do your homework on him, he's got a brilliant hockey background. He's actually an author as well. He wrote a book called The Chill Factor, which kind of chronicles his time as a president and GM of the Columbus Chill in the East Coast Hockey League. Was a main driving force of building a downtown facility in Columbus, which eventually led to the Columbus Blue Jackets getting to that area, fighting off Ohio State to build a pro team. And actually another, unbelievable part is that he built a couple of rinks and managed rinks during that time as well. So, I think you'll see a bit of a transformation around the Norris Center in terms of programming and getting our community even more involved. So we're excited to have him, and he's in town, and you'll see some probably exciting things over the next few weeks as he's get into it and gets things wrapped, his head wrapped around some areas.
I will remind everybody that the Lakers do open the season here late this month. There'll be a blue gold game that'll be right at the end of the month, last day on a Saturday. It'll be at 3 or so in the afternoon. Make your plans to be out for that. And then the very next day, it'll be an exhibition game. I think that's also an afternoon start against Laurentian. We'll be broadcasting that game. That'll be on Yes FM, your voice for the Lakers again this season. And then we'll get into the Laker hockey show as well. In fact, we're going to have a Laker hockey show before that weekend on the 26th of September. We'll talk about the games at that time and how the roster looks and who the captains are and all that sort of thing. And we'll be back at the Antlers again this season for that.
Yeah, great. It's that time of year. Like I said, I can't wait. There's not enough time in the day right now to do all the things we want to do, but it's exciting. Our players are ready to go. And, you know, again, we've talked a lot about what we've built over the last few years in this community and on the ice, and we're looking for that next step. We've got the ability to do that, and I think you'll see a great product on the ice. Encourage you to get down there, get your tickets, and appreciate your support, and we'll see you soon up at Taffy Able.
All righty, the season's almost ready to start. Damon, thanks for being here this morning. Again, this show will be podcast. For those of you who couldn't hear it live, you can spread the word maybe if you did listen this morning, and folks will be able to listen to it at their leisure as well. Bill Crawford for Damon Witten and our sponsors, another edition of Laker Hockey Talk right here on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.